Have you ever wondered, what is it God wants me to do? I'm sure there are others who have thought that. One person is probably Moses. You know, because in Exodus chapter 3, here's where we make our mistake. Like we were talking in class, we try to figure out what's happening when we have no idea what's going on. And here Moses is in Exodus chapter 3. It says, meanwhile, Moses was shepherding the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. Here's something interesting to me. You know, this guy was a priest in Midian, and we have no record that he came from Israel. I mean, let's face it, he was in Ethiopia at the time. And so, God has his people everywhere. He says, he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. Do you remember when John Paul went to Tanzania? One of the places Prosper took him to was the mountain of God. That's what they called it. Because whenever they wanted to know God's will, they would go to this mountain of God and they would fast and pray. And if you remember what happened to John Paul when he went there, what happened to Prosper when he went there, he stayed there for 30 days fasting and praying, not any clue of what was going on back this side of the pond. It was the same time we were meeting with John Chombo. You know, Chombo came and spoke to Promised Land and Mountain View, and this is the same time we called John Paul, and we had not, even John Chombo had no idea that Prosper was up on the mountain of God praying that God would send someone. And so when John Paul finally got to Tanzania, Prosper, when he told him his name, Prosper couldn't believe it, because Prosper woke up one morning, and when he went to sleep that night, there was nothing on the wall of the cave, but when he woke up and came out, on a rock was written John Paul. And when he went back into the cave, there was JP, but it wasn't there when he left the cave that morning. And so he had to take John Paul up there and show him. And after Prosper showed John Paul, when he went back about a week later, because he couldn't believe what he had seen, it was gone. It didn't stay there. It stayed there for several months between the time they were praying, because that was the fall when we were all meeting here. John Paul didn't get over there till January. And it was there in January when, or February when John Paul went. But then after he saw it, it just disappeared. So when you go to the mountain of God, things happened. It was no different for Moses. It says, then the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire within a bush. As Moses looked at that the bush was on fire, but it was not consumed. So Moses thought, I must go over and look at this remarkable sight. Why isn't the bush burning up? Think about what's going on here. Most of the time, the reaction is when an angel speaks, just about every time an angel speaks, you see where it says, I fell on my face with fear. But that didn't happen here. That did not happen here. Why? What was different? Yeah. What's taking place here? Moses is about to realize something, that he's right where God wants him, doing exactly what God wants him to do and not doing anything God wants him to do. And that's what perplexes most of us. We're right where we should be if we're listening to God, but we're not listening to God. We're trying to figure out, what does he want me to do? And see, we would get the thought that Moses, and you've probably heard this before, Moses spent 40 years shepherding sheep so he could learn how to shepherd Israel. Nothing could be further from the truth. Nothing could be further from the truth. We underestimate our God. Moses wasn't shepherding sheep so he could learn how to shepherd the flock of Israel. Moses was the shepherd of Israel. Therefore, he was shepherding sheep. Why would I say that? Because if you flip over just a few books, about halfway through your Bible, to Jeremiah, God doesn't have to teach us anything. Nothing. Did you ever say, God taught me something today? God doesn't teach you. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5 says, I chose you before I formed you in the womb. In other words, Moses was formed a shepherd in his mother's womb. It just took him 40 years to get to the place what God formed him to do. He says, I chose you before I formed you in the womb. I set you apart before you were born. I appointed you. Our problem is, we want to know what God wants us to do. God already said, I appointed you. We just don't like it sometimes. I mean, we even write songs. We were born to fly. We were born for much more than this. Let me tell you something. It's a lot easier shepherding sheep than it is Israel. Why do I say that? Sheep are dumb, I realize. But they can't talk back. I never saw a sheep, as soon as you turn your back, make a golden sheep to worship. Moses was in the political climate of today. The whole camp, half of the people hated him, and the other half despised him. How do I know that? Because they said, what did you do? Bring us out here to die? We remember what it was like in Egypt. And Moses is gone, looking up at the sky, going, you couldn't have left me with a sheep. Yeah. Sheep are easy. Sheep are easy. But God had to take him. You know, they tell you, Every experience you go through is to prepare you for one of greater magnitude. Shepherding dumb sheep was just preparing him for what God had already ordained him to do. He wasn't shepherding sheep to learn to be a shepherd of the flock. He was a shepherd of the flock. Therefore, God had him shepherding sheep. And we look at it the wrong way. God prepared you. There is nothing. That's why he says, no weapon formed against you. Why? Because I've already been here. Psalm, remember, one of our favorite psalms? I read the page before there was a page. And I didn't just read the page. When it did come time to write the page, I wrote it. That's why he says, I am the author and the finisher. So when you say, what does God want me to do? What we probably should be saying, God, I just want to do what you... And you know what? If you look back on your life, you can see, and it's hard to accept this at times, you are exactly where God wants you to be at this moment. God's not surprised. Do you think he says, Pastor, better change your sermon. Bobby's going to be in church today. Like he didn't know Bobby was going to be in church today. Yeah, you may want to preach this next week. Jim and Kay will be there next week. Like he didn't know they weren't going to be here today. He knows, people. He knows. He says, before, think about what that statement in Jeremiah is saying. Before I formed you. You know, we used to say, growing up, before you were a twinkle in your daddy's eye. Think about that. I already knew that Matt, the little Russian boy, would be running a sound system and leading worship in Fredericksburg, Virginia. And the Russians are going, huh? We've heard of Georgia. What's of Virginia? How is he going to get? See, that's not our problem. That's not our problem. We make it our problem. He says, before I formed you, I ordained you. Moses didn't have to learn the shepherd. He was created a shepherd. God just allowed him the privilege of moving from dumb to dumber. They made a movie about that, I think. Yeah. Because I'm here to tell you, sheep are easy. Sheep are easy. God says, there is nothing. There is nothing. We honestly believe that the plan of salvation was laid before the foundations of the world. Then why did the church miss it? The same reason we miss what we were called to do. Because we were born for greater things than this. You know, we were, someone once said to me, not too awful many years ago, they said, you know, you were created to speak to thousands. I said, no, I was created to speak to whoever God brings. If that's thousands, so be it. If it's one, so be it. And then I remember the evangelist I met when I lived in Tennessee. I told you the story before when he went to the little church in Texas and preached an evangelistic series for 6 weeks. And no one showed up. No one. And so he got up and he preached. Hot. And Don knows what summers are like in Texas. You know. It was hot, no AC, and he's preaching his heart out. Nobody's there. Nobody's there. And so he preaches 1 week, 2 weeks, 6 week series, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. The fifth week, he and God, I think the way the Bible put it, had no small discussion, intense fellowship. And he's up preaching and gets so mad, he throws his Bible out the window and leaves the church, leaves the ministry. About 20 years later, he's living in Florida, working, and there's a tent meeting going on. It was hot. It's Florida. And they said the tent was air conditioned. So he went in. And there was a man up front singing. And he says, I'm going to tell you how I got here. He said, I used to live in Texas. He said, and like Paul, I was the chief of sinners. I was such a sinner that I thought if I ever went in a church, lightning would strike it. So I wouldn't go in a church. He said, but there was this little church out in the country of Texas. He said, and I guess it was full. I don't know. The man was preaching up a storm. I don't know how many people were there. All I know is I was sitting out there and I was listening to the man preach. And then one night, he said, this Bible came flying out the window. He said, and I went back the next night, but they wasn't there. And here's this preacher who threw the Bible, just happened to walk in. And that's when this man up front said, and that's when I wrote the song. Yeah. Me and Preacher Bill. I've got a mansion sitting on a hill, Main Street in Heaven. He didn't know the preacher's name. He said, Main Street in Heaven, next to Preacher Bill. He's the one who told me what it's all about. He said it was brand new. He told me what to do. So I made a phone call, had a talk with God. Said I'd like to have it if it wasn't gone. He checked the records, said it would be fine. Said a man named Jesus has really made it mine. So I've got a mansion sitting on a hill, Main Street in Heaven, next to Preacher Bill. You're trying to tell me that God didn't know that man would be sitting outside that window when that Bible came flying out? God knew exactly, exactly what's going on. Exactly. Nothing surprises him. You just have to do. The preacher went back in to the ministry, ended up becoming an evangelist. You know, the church put him out because he wasn't the typical evangelist. But the thing is, people, if you just do what God had one, we say all the time, if it was one, Jesus would have come. People, if it was none, Jesus would have come. Because we have no clue who's outside listening at the window. But God does. God knows. And we think, he's getting me ready for something. No, he already created you for something. Just do what he created you to do. He'll bring people to the window. He'll bring people to the storehouse. He will get who needs to be there to be there. Why do I say that? Because if you go into the New Testament, Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. It says, as he was walking along the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the sea, since they were fishermen. Follow me, he told them, and I will make you fish for people. Just like Moses. These are the most popular, the most well-known people in the world. Everybody knows the 12 disciples. Everybody. Little children. Remember the song? There were 12 disciples. Jesus called to help him. Simon, Peter, Andrew, James's brother, John, Philip, Thomas, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon, Judas, and Bartholomew. He created them to be disciples. They didn't become fishermen. They were created fishermen. He allowed them to fish till they could fish for men. We just need to get to the place where God knows that we know who he is. Because people often wonder, does God even know who I am? Yes. Do you even know who he is? That's the real question. The Christian song that says, who is on the Lord's side? Who is on the Lord's side? Then it says, but the question is, not if you're, he's on your side, but are you on his? Just do what you're doing. That's all. It doesn't have to be big. It doesn't have to be spectacular. It doesn't have to be well known. You know, everybody wants their 15 minutes of fame. And when Peter got it, he said, just crucify me upside down. That's what he's remembered for. You know, being crucified upside down. Jesus said, unless you pick up your cross and follow me, basically saying, unless you do what I was created, what you were created for, just like I did. When the disciples tried to stop, remember what was about to take place? He said, this is what I was created for. Remember a few weeks ago we talked about the temple lambs, how only the lambs born and raised in a certain place could be used for the temple. That's what they were created for. They weren't created and raised for food. They were created and raised for sacrifice. And Jesus said, the same is true with us. We're created to serve. I have come to serve, not to be served. Watching a guy on the news yesterday, you know, when Amazon pulled out of New York, 25,000 jobs gone. The neighborhood where they were moving to, they were interviewing somebody. The man had a little deli or some kind of a little restaurant there. And there were people celebrating and says, we beat the man. Yeah. We're only little people, but we showed the richest man in the world who's in charge. We kept him from coming here. And this restaurant owner said to the news reporter, look around. Look around. There's empty buildings. There's bombed out cars. I'm going to lose my business. He says, yes, I want a free college. Yes, I want a free health care. I guess I'm going to have to pay for it myself now. See, that's the way it is. We think we can help. We think we can help. If I can just help God, I can do a lot better preaching to thousands than I can preaching to, what is it, 15, 20? Not really. Not really. Because, see, in that 15 to 20, there's a Bobby. There's a Matt. There's a Christine, there's a Carol, there's a Leslie. Think about it. Think about it. Jesus didn't preach. I know it says he preached to 5,000 one day, but he lived and was a living example to 12. You know, one kind of went astray, so you can say 11. The 12th he preached to, and the person never thought they were being preached to. As a matter of fact, the 12th created the first Christian martyr. Didn't even realize he was the one that Jesus had formed in his mother's womb. And when he came to Christ, he said, I can preach. I can now. I can spread. Do they know who I know? I know people. I can get and I can have influence. And God said, I didn't form you to preach. I formed you to write. Evidently, you've never heard me preach. I have heard you preach. That's why you're going to write. Because every time you open your mouth, they beat you. They stone you and they leave you for dead. You would be dead if it wasn't for me. Now, you're going to write or you're going to preach? I want to preach. Okay, have it your way. So he puts them in prison. Yeah. Think about, yeah, the problems we go through so often, like Don said. If he had just listened, he wouldn't have had the fall. He was saying, I need to get to my doctor. 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 And Gabriel's gone, how many times does he have to say it? And Jesus said, watch this, he won't have to say it again. What? He's going to his doctor, Gabe. Think about it. That's what he says. If we just... You don't have to wonder. Just let God do what he wants to do. If he puts a thought in your mind, people follow it. It's never wrong to do the right thing. And there's no time like now. See, I believe time is short. I believe Jesus is coming. And as I said in class, one of the best illustrations I had was the difference between the military ship and this cruise ship. When the cruise ship had seven people, and you say, how do they know seven people? Because when you go off the ship, you have to scan a card. So they know everybody who went off the ship is back on the ship before they pull out. On a military ship, you don't scan nothing. You leave. When it's time to pull out... When you come back on board, you don't scan nothing. You come on board. When it's time to pull out, they pull out. If you're not on board, they don't care. You'll care because you're going to the brig for missing ship's movement. See, God says, there was a movie Left Behind. I'm pulling out. I'm about to come. The time to get on board is now. Actually, some people never got off the ship. Yeah, they stayed on board. A lot of them because they had been on 200-300 cruises. I forget what the most... They gave an award for the person who had been on the most cruises. But if you're singing it all, you know, why go off, I guess. But the thing is, people, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. And he formed every single human that was ever formed on this earth was formed to go to heaven. He says, I'm not willing that any should be lost. So he says that, and then he proves that. Then he's going to do that. See, on a military ship, they don't leave anybody. People just don't get on board. Yeah. They never say, yeah, Bob, we left Bob ashore. They say, Bob missed ship's movement. And because he missed ship's movement, he's going to go someplace, but it's not on board ship. That's what Jesus says. How do you know when? Jesus says, when you see these things, we could tell that even now the time has come. Galatians. You say, what does God want me to do? Galatians chapter 1. Verse 15. But when God, Galatians chapter 1, verse 15. But when God, who from my birth set me apart and called me by his grace, who from my birth, you know, if all you're called to be is a pooper scooper in a zoo, then be the best pooper scooper you can be. Because you know what it would be like if there were no pooper scoopers in a zoo? Yeah, it's not like the wild where it can just, they have someplace else to go. If you just do what God set you apart to do, it may not be glorious. Somebody told me, I guess it was Roseanne Barr, who used to say, I'm not a housewife, I'm a domestic goddess. Yeah. She's right. Yeah. You be the best you can be. That's what God formed you to be. I mean, isn't there something more glorious? Isn't there something better? Shouldn't you be moving up? Shouldn't you be doing something grander for God than what you're doing? I mean, you know, I think probably abstract. But, you know, I know Jay's first marriage didn't work out. But if there wasn't that first marriage, we wouldn't have Matt. Yeah, think about that. If that's what he has to take Jay through so we can be blessed, sorry, Jay. We're blessed. We are blessed. Because there was one little baby in Russia who would learn how to run a sound system, have a love for music, and bless Lord knows how many people. See, you can say, but did I have to go? No, you could have listened. I'm not saying God didn't have another way. But I'm saying appreciate. And then, like Jay was saying, the job he's in now, a year ago he wouldn't have taken it. Why did he take it when he took it? Same reason Don went to the hospital when He went. Yeah. He put Jay in such a position that he had to look up to see the bottom. Take the job now, Jay. See, if he ever moves you or never moves you, you're right where God wants you. If he ever moves me or never moves me, yeah. I just don't want to get to the place where I say, God, because I can't see what's happening, I'm throwing my Bible out the window and walking away from you. Because see, that's what it gets us when it's not happening our way. I'm sure Moses, do you realize how many days Moses, you know, when he was out there, sheep stink. I mean, they really stink. You know, how many days he's thinking, I could be Pharaoh. I mean, he was next in line. He had made it. He had made it. I mean, it's like being adopted by Bill Gates. I wonder how many days. Because it wasn't a week, and it wasn't a month, and it wasn't a year. 40 years. 40 years. And I've even heard preachers say, it took 40 years to learn the ways of Egypt, and then 40 years to unlearn. He never unlearned that. Because people, once it's in there, it's like ragu. It's in there. Every day he woke up and went, ooh, sheep. He thought, the palace never smelled like this. And if it did, I could just snap my fingers. And people would come and clean it up. Those were the days, my friend, I thought they'd never end. Yeah, it crosses his mind. And if you don't think it crossed his mind then, the next 40 years, he's saying, oh, to be back with the sheep. Oh, to be back with the sheep. Comes down from the mountain and says, wait a second. You were making bricks without straw. They were killing you. They weren't giving you food. And this is the thanks I get? A golden calf? Well, we don't know what happened. It just fell in the fire, and when we pulled it out, it was a calf. A sheep would never give you that answer. He longed for the days, but he was right where God needed him to be. And of the 3 million, that he led out of Egypt, he didn't lead them into the promised land. He only led two. Did you ever think about that? 40 years to get two people into the promised land, Joshua and Caleb. That's it. If Moses, maybe he went up and said, wait a second, you're telling me I put up with all that and two? Two? That's all that I know from the old neighborhood? Two? Come on, God. It is about numbers. And the numbers always won. Jesus. It always boils down to Jesus. You know, what would Jesus think? What would he do? Because see, when he says, I only do the will of him who sent me, He's reciting his own words. Before I was formed in Mary's womb. That's why they gave her myrrh. I was born to be sacrificed. I only do the will of him who sent me. Do I like it? No. I wish there was another way. Why do I say that? Because that's what he said. Father, if there's another way, and then he waits for an answer. No answer. Maybe you didn't hear me. Father, if it's possible, if there's another way, he waits. Silence. My personal belief is it's the first time he ever prayed and didn't hear the Spirit speaking back to him. Because once the Spirit tells you, he's not going to tell you a second time. They just sit there and wait and see what you're going to do. So he says it a third time. Father, if there's another way, nevertheless, I'm going to do what you formed me in my mama's warm womb to do. And it was John Wesley who originally penned the words in one of his sermons and said, and with that, he set his face toward Calvary. Because he had already gotten the answer. He already knew the answer. He knew what he was created in his mama's womb for. And it says, but when God, who from my birth set me apart and called me by his grace, was pleased. Pleased with his plans. Pleased with, look, if you just do it. And see, I can look and I can rationalize with somebody like Don and say, you know, Don, this may be a whole new procedure that they might not have had if you went to the doctor when you first got the inkling to go to the doctor. But I'm not that dumb. Yeah. That procedure's been in existence for over 3 or 4 months. I don't know what God formed you in your mother's womb to do. It may be just to serve others. Jeez, that's what he did with Jesus. I have come to serve, not to be served. It may be just to get a little boy from Russia. It may be, yeah, just to give out a dessert. You know, to people who don't need it, we think. You know, and they don't. You know, I don't know of anybody we give food to that would die that night from hunger if we didn't give them food. I haven't seen anybody come in like that, belly swollen, you know, emaciated. It's not about the bread, it's about the bread of life. They may not need the food, but they need Jesus. And they need to know that there are people who actually believe that Jesus means what he says, that I will never leave you nor forsake you. Even when you feel like it, 40 years tending sheep, even when you feel like it in prison after the butcher, the baker, and the candlestick maker are released, even when they're crucifying you upside down, I will never leave you nor forsake you. See, they were fishermen before they were formed in their mother's womb. Then Jesus allowed them to fish and then made them fishers of men. The whole thing is, Jeremiah says, I know the plans that I have for you. I know the plans that I have for you. Will you accept them? See, that's what he told Moses. And Moses said, no, I won't accept them. So he said, Moses, go up on the mountain and die. The two boys you took out of Egypt, they're going to lead them in. I know the plans that I have for you. And my plans, trust me on this. My plans are not to harm you, but to give you a future and a blessed hope. But when God, who from my birth set me apart and called me by his grace, was pleased. He was pleased to reveal his son. People, as we go forward, and I know Jesus is coming, I don't know what he's going to do in the future, and I don't need to know. I just need to do today what he asked me to do today. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. Nothing more, nothing less. See, today is a Lynchburg day, but we're not going to Lynchburg. You know? Why? There's one person. Yeah, I don't know all the people. This funeral we're going to, we really know one person. And not the deceased. We don't even really know the deceased. But we know her son. Yeah. And he needs to see Jesus today. How do you see Jesus? By somebody just coming along. What did the song say? I know who goes before me. I know who goes behind. Yeah. The God of angel armies is always by my side. Because there may be 400 or 500 people at that funeral this afternoon. But who's going to be by the side a week from now? That's what God calls us to do. Then that's what we do. Today. That's all. Just today. Who from my birth set me apart. See, I think Bobby's going to be blessed because it says if you remember your parents, you're going to be blessed. Yeah. Think about that. Think about that. What a blessing to be in the will of God. That's all we want. That's all we want to do. Nothing grandiose. You know, I see people who are highly successful in ministry, so to speak, and something happens. Something happens. they honestly believe they can lead thousands. Moses led millions. And out of the millions, two. I mean, you talk about a horrible evangelistic crusade. Come on, let's leave 3 million. Let's go into the promised land. Two. He would have been fired by any conference. Jesus. Thousands. You know, we don't know how many thousand, but we know 5,000 men were at that on the hillside. With women and children, 20,000. Hanging on the cross. Let's see. One hung himself. 10 were scattered like rats leaving a sinking ship. One. And he's up there going, man, I'm good. I doubt that's what was going through his mind. Yeah. So people, don't look at the world. Look to God, because he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. If you're in the wilderness with dumb sheep or in the wilderness with dumber people, I'm still with you. If you're preaching and healing a boy that falls out the window and bringing him back to life, or being crucified on a cross upside down, I'm with you. If you want to be a preacher, if you want to be a preacher, and I knew he wanted to be a preacher because he would write about it. Paul would write about it all the time. You know, I'm better than this. I studied at the smartest people. I've been here. I've been there. But you're in prison. Write the best letters you can write. Somebody will preserve them. And we'll be reading them 2,000 years later. You know, just do what God asks you to do. I don't know how many people. Paul wanted to reach thousands. Instead, he reached millions. Billions. Just do what God asks you to do today. Let's bow our heads. Father, when we think about this, Moses never shepherded sheep to learn how to shepherd people. He was a shepherd before he ever went into the wilderness to shepherd those sheep. Peter, James, John, Andrew, they were formed in their mother's womb to be fishermen. And Father, we thank you that you gave them the privilege to fish until it was time to pick them from the crop to become fishers of men. Father, we thank you for the privilege of being chosen to be in this place at this time, doing whatever you ask us to do. Father, whether it's sweeping up rat crap, or Father, picking up groceries, listening to people complain, oh, Father, sometimes the blessings of just laying hands on people and watching you move, Father, we just want to do your will so we can say with your Son, we have come to do the will of him who has called us, him who has formed us, and him who has set us apart for such a time as this. And Father, we long for that day. We're homesick, Father. We would love this afternoon to be the last funeral we ever have to attend. Oh, Father, We pray with your Apostle John. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. But please come soon. We thank you for the privilege of being the terminal generation when we are going to get to see you come. Oh, Father, make it soon. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.